Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, folks, I can't say it enough, and I can't say it more concise. It's now or never. I am your humble servant, and I want to actually start driving this home because I want you to understand what I am doing. I avail myself to lots of people, and if you're going to get started in reclaiming the Republic, you're going to be working directly with me, which means I'm going to be serving you to become successful so that you can take back your county, and so that you can take back your state, and so that you can actually get government and your public servants to be accountable to you the way it should be. And so the process is really clear. And the good news is we've actually got some petitions started in Spokane County. So it's nice to see some of this stuff happening in your home territory. And I'm surprised because, it's not that I wrote the state off, but my focus has been with the red states because those are the states that are the closest to getting across the finish line, to getting one state to stand up and initiate Republic review. We're very close in Wyoming. We're getting started with South Dakota. We're getting started with other states. Now, there are some states that it's sad that politics enters into this because I believe reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And I believe that when we start talking about organizations, and there are people that allow their personal feelings to cloud their judgment because they like people that's associated with those organizations. I'll give you a good example because we talk about, and I know I pick on the John Birch Society a little bit here, but when I do that, I'm really picking on the leadership and what the leadership is doing and why they're putting the organization above this nation, period. There is no evidence whatsoever that they are actually trying to, I'll just say, do what's best for the Republic. And so one of the things that we want to help emphasize for you is the fact that if somebody is not putting aside their self-interest, their organizational interest, and their differences in standing up for the Constitution and demanding full compliance to the Constitution, we're not talking about making amendments. We're not talking about a convention of states. We're talking about Republic review and the process that will hold the federal government. This process is James Madison and Thomas Jefferson's idea. This is the concept. Actually, it's a concept within basic fundamental contract law. And so I am your humble servant. I'm more than happy to do everything I can to make you successful because your success is our success. That said, the show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. And I've got a lot to cover. It's Feedback Friday and got a lot of feedback. And I appreciate people sending me the notes, emails, and or little phone messages. And we do have our comment line, 425-270-5416. And it's nice to see that people are starting to use that instead of dialing in. And so we're actually going to be giving some listener feedback today. And so this today's really may not get into, because as I kind of compiled everything, I may not have the time to get into or get back into the unorganized militia kind of where we left off. So what we will be doing is covering those that content. And if I can get into it, I will. So I'm trying to speak as quick as I can. And I'm going to try to avoid going down rat holes. But as you know, you're listening to the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. Now, Bob's supposed to have a seminar. I've got to call him again. It's been a couple of weeks since I've called him. I've been kind of busy on the personal side. So Bob is now going to be my forefront in making this one connection this weekend to say, hey, Bob, how's it going? Where's that seminar? What are we doing? Now, with Fortitude Financial Coaching, if you're looking for some coaching and some assistance in becoming financially successful, reach out to Gary Smith at Fortitude Financial Coaching. All his information is right there on our other links page. As a matter of fact, we have what we call the important links out there, and then we also have the what we call the other links. If you could just go down on the right-hand side on the site menu, it's the links on the very bottom. It just says links. So there you go. ConstitutionEducation.us is where you can get material and concepts and videos, all different types of things to help you understand and help other people understand. Start connecting people to learning about the Constitution, because as people start learning about the Constitution, they're going to start realizing that there is things to this that they have no idea. They didn't realize that these types of things, these protections or these limitations even existed. Timber Nation, if you're looking for hardwood furniture, you know, I can't say enough about TimberNation.com and the Great Patriots that operate that. It's a small family business. They are back ordered, and they're very back ordered. So have your patience. If you want to get that kind of a price with Timber Nation and you want to get that kind of quality, then you're going to have to wait. Anyway, TimberNation.com and RadioDustCovers.com for covering that expensive gear. I would probably even bet that you could get yourself a boat cover or something like that. I'm sure that goes beyond Stan's probably limitations, but I believe, you know, when you're looking for custom work and custom materials and so forth, you know, Stan's the man. Anyway, Add Local is where you can get your ISP services for your organization. If you already have an organization, you're using MailChimp, Constant Contact, or any of those types of platforms, then you could be deplatformed. They could literally just deny you of service and say, we're no longer servicing your account anymore. We're shutting you down. That's happened. And so you need to move and you need to be associated with an organization that is not going to actually, you know, be a part of the woke society and cancel you or have an effect on you. We got elections coming up. And when they do that right before the election, they know they're having an impact on you. We can't let this happen. One last thing, and I didn't get a chance to look it up, but I need to look up how you can subscribe to Wyoming Conservative Chronicle. If you want to understand what is going on in the heartland of America, Wyoming Conservative Chronicle is probably the paper for you. And I'm sure they provide mail service. I'll be talking to them to make sure that they, you know, do offer that type of service to where if you want to buy it, they can ship it to you. Anyway. And as a matter of fact, I'm hoping that I can get myself a subscription. That way, I can actually tell you some of the articles. Even though they may be having articles about me or what we're doing, it's some of the other stuff that's important, too, so that you understand. So, anyway, wow, I got through the obligatories, and we've got, it's just under 4 minutes left in the segment. So, let me jump into, you know, what we want to talk about for the feedback. And so, one of the things before I do that, just keep in mind, I want to keep on pushing this paradigm, upstream view, downstream view. Upstream view is looking at the source of the problems, what is truly causing the problems, and picking apart all of the contributing factors to the problem. If you do that kind of analysis, you will actually start fixing problems. This is probably basic leadership 101. You have to look upstream to figure out, this is the problem. And sometimes you can solve the problem with the downstream. And as a matter of fact, I'll give you a classic example. There was a company, and I forget what they were doing, but they were creating, they were packaging a product. Their product was in a little box. And they had a high percentage of boxes that were not, the content of product itself was not being placed in the box. And it'd be shipped, and there were like, you know, a high percentage of no product in the box. And so the people were complaining, saying, hey, what's going on? And they were really trying to fix this problem. And they looked at trying to fix the problem upstream in the process of the manufacturing. And they said, okay, so we see some problems right here. This is what it would cost to do this. And one of the people on the line said, hey, I got a better idea. And what they did was they put a fan on the end of the conveyor belt before everything, when the product was coming down the last stage of the conveyor belt to be placed into a wrap to be wrapped up as these boxes to be wrapped up, they put a fan that would blow the empty boxes off. In other words, it had enough velocity to the wind of the fan that it would blow the boxes off of the conveyor belt. And so the boxes that had the product in it remained on the conveyor belt. And so they were able to quickly resolve the problem. Now, they ended up having to go upstream and fix the problem as well, but they were able to also invoke a downstream solution immediately to alleviate the problem of wasting the materials on the boxes that were empty and so forth and so on. So it helps to start understanding the difference between both upstream and downstream views. But more importantly, if you're really trying to solve problems, you have to look at things upstream and all the factors upstream that are causing the problems. Okay? Now, this first thing we want to get into regarding the Feedback Friday really comes from an old friend and down in California. And basically, he's really frustrated with how things are being played out in the Supreme Court. And my bottom line comment back to him was, this is the danger of demographics. And this is literally playing out in these hearings as we start seeing the woman and biology comment. And I know many of you people are already attuned to the news cycles, and there's just no way of getting – it's hard to break that addiction. I get it. But I think the point you have to start making and looking at the upstream problem is the danger of demographics. We have now incorporated demographic ideology. In other words, you know, if you're coming into the room, your gender, your race, and everything else comes with you, and those become agendas because, oh, well, now we can't insult this or that by making some comment that might be in a general context. We have to identify everybody because, I mean, these transgenders are demanding that you use the proper pronouns. Are you kidding me? When we could just say you people or hey, everybody or sir, boys and girls. Bottom line, we'll be back because I don't want to bleed right into the next promo or the two promos. So we'll be right back talking about demographics and how they're playing out. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me get back to Dr. Tibbetts' concerns and comments regarding how we're now being flooded with, it just seems like quotas. Quotas are driving demographics. And bottom line, quotas should never have anything to do with a job description. Quotas should have nothing to do whatsoever with whether somebody can do the job or not. And the fact is, when somebody stands up like Biden or anybody and says, I'm going to be the first one to appoint a black woman, I believe that the best person to fill that seat should be the best person. It shouldn't be demographically driven. And I've proven that you can actually do this because, when I was a hiring manager, and anybody that works for me or worked with me can prove that I had the most diverse team because I didn't look at who I was interviewing. I looked at what they brought to the table, their skills, their willingness, and nine times out of ten, the one thing, the one demographic that ended up fitting our model, and it was just not even a coincidence, it happens to be a part of the expertise that you're looking for. And it comes down to the fact that most of the people I hired were probably in the age, I only hired one person I think that was under 30 or in their low 30s. Most everybody was around 40 or older. And the reason why that was is because these people that I hired, regardless of their demographics, understood the importance of actually documenting whatever it was they did in engineering. If you don't document what they're doing and how they're doing it and actually provide that and actually verify their documentation, then what they did, the work that you're paying for them, you really didn't pay for the work. You just let them hack away and they may have got something to work, but you don't own that process. And in engineering, owning the process is very important because you have to duplicate that, especially if you're selling stuff or doing things. And so the paradigm of learning to document, the paradigm, it takes time before people have made enough mistakes to say, you know, I better start writing this stuff down because I'm not going to remember all of these steps and all of these things that I did. And, you know, I've met people that hack in their older age, but bottom line, they tend to take a lot longer. Their work becomes more questionable. And even more importantly, when you have to start duplicating that, you keep on paying the same amount of money as the integration costs. And integration costs is where you take a lot of time and labor to actually get something to work. And so going back into this demographics, I don't want to go down this rat hole too much. The fact is that when we really see this playing out, and if we look at SCOTUS specifically, I'm going to actually put a curve to this. I want you to understand that SCOTUS itself is proving its obsolescence in our republic. Keep in mind that the framers' concept was that we were to have a republican form of government. Now, is our judiciary a part of our government? Yes, it is. Is it republican in form? Is it representative of the republic? No, it's not. As a matter of fact, when we start looking at it, and I know this Miss Jackson, I'm not even going to try to pronounce her name, Miss Jackson, Judge Jackson or whatever, who's being interviewed by the Senate, and I can tell you she's not a part of the Ivy League, but she is a part of a paradigm, and she doesn't care about the law or the rule of law. And one of the things that also came out of this, and we talked about this, I think, yesterday, is the fact that lawyers and judges truly believe that the Supreme Court creates law. And that has to be eradicated. This whole concept that the Supreme Court can create law is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's imbecilic to think that they have the authority, because clearly, as we pointed out, the legislative body, when it comes down to legislative powers, it is solely vested in Congress at the national level. And in your state, it's the state legislators. Your executives and your bureaucrats should not be able to legislate. The only people in your county that should be able to legislate would be your commissioners and or your supervisors. But bottom line, Ms. Jackson is just proving that it has become an ideological seating at that bench, or if you want to call it that table or the altar of power that they want to wield. I believe when we really start looking at the technology that we have today and the ability to directly connect with state legislators, we can actually get the clarity that's required out of what I'll say this process, the judiciary process that the republic deserves, which is a true and, I guess the way to say this is republican, because when you say republican, that means based on hard, fast law. And so when you base it on hard, fast law, the judiciary is not even basing anything on hard, fast law because they use interpretation. There should be no interpretation. If there is interpretation within the federal government regarding anything within that Constitution, it must go to the states. So in other words, let's take a little walk and talk about the two different processes that the judiciary should do. If the judiciary is hearing a case that's actually within their enumerated powers, and they find that there is a lack of a law, such as, let me try to come up with the militia. Let's say that there's something within the militia structure, because clearly that is enumerated. The federal government has this enumeration over the militia. And something comes up to where they go, you know, Congress needs to create a law, and one of those things that's in the Constitution as far as standards goes, and let's say there was no standards on who could fight or what have you, and so they kind of did, and let's say a state's pushing back and saying, hey, Congress has already created this paradigm that women can serve in combat roles, and we as a state don't want to do that. Well, the fact is that the power, whether you like it or not, the power has been delegated to the general government to create those standards. And so the Supreme Court would then rule, and they should actually basically say, hey, you know, out of this ruling, we find that the women actually have, you know, this equal responsibility, and the Congress is within their rights and power to create this standard that is enumerated in the Constitution. So the message should then go out from the Supreme Court to say, if the states don't like the fact that Congress has these types of powers over standards, then the states need to get together and interpret exactly what they want the militia acts and these standards to be, and set those in, you know, hard fast into an amendment, or to, you know, direct Congress to stay within these tighter bounds. Actually, technically, it has to be an amendment. But bottom line, you can't just allow the Supreme Court to make an interpretation and it create law, period. And so that's what the problem is. The SCOTUS is just aggrandized their position. Instead of telling the actual authorities of who is supposed to do something, they just make the decision and voila, they've created law. And they do not have that power or authority. So let's work it the other way now. Let's say that all of a sudden they come along and they pick something up that they have no authority. Okay, so that right there is a violation. But let's say that as they do that, like Roe v. Wade, they have created this concept in their verdict. We're just focusing on interpretation. In their verdict of Roe v. Wade, they basically declared that ipso facto, it is law that women can have the right to an abortion in the United States. Well, hold on here. They still can't do that. They have to go to Congress to say, Congress, we believe that there is this right, we in our interpretation, but we can't create law, nor can we change the Constitution. And technically, if they were abiding by the Constitution, they would have even taken the case. And they wouldn't even direct this back to the Congress. What they would do is they would direct this back to the states. But at least in context, if they believe a law should be created and it's within the enumerated powers of Congress, the Supreme Court should send a directive or a notice to, you know, to give them guidance to say, you need to create a law for this because this is problematic. You know, people are, you know, having these rights that we believe should be, you know, protected. Then Congress could go and create that protection law as an amendment. If it's not within the Constitution or if it's enumerated, then they have the authority to do so. But that's how it's supposed to work, folks. It's really that simple. And that's why John Jay decided not to become a part of SCOTUS after, you know, he walked or after they appointed him to become this emissary regarding this treaty with the Mississippi River and Spain. And that became, it was just a shambles. And so as, you know, he kind of overcame the embarrassment of what a failure that whole treaty was, they offered him an opportunity to go back to the Supreme Court. And he said, no, the Supreme Court doesn't have any power or authority. And they really, you know, it's more of just a dead position for them, because that's how it was. If you look at the Supreme Court's responsibility, their responsibility is to determine how things are defined in the Constitution. If it's not, they don't have the power to define it. But they do have the authority to actually look at how it was defined. And if it wasn't, then they need to go to the states and say, hey, you guys are the parties to this. You need to tell us what this means. That's how it's supposed to work. And so this is why SCOTUS, technically, as we look at today, SCOTUS is obsolete. We need to completely revamp this concept of our judiciary and what the Supreme Court of the United States should be. It shouldn't be a permanent life position anymore. It's proven, based on the arguments that the framers gave us, it has been proven that the judiciary itself, we do not benefit from having a lifelong appointment. I also believe it needs to be representative. It needs to be representative of the states. And as a matter of fact, I believe that each state should have one person sitting, but I don't believe that the Supreme Court should be sitting in D.C. And so because of technology and so forth, and we'll get into, what I believe regarding the Supreme Court and what we need to do, and I'll let you chew on that. And I'm putting it out there so you can tear me up. I look forward to your comments. We'll be right back after these two promos.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let me kind of downshift a little bit. Let's look at the whole purpose of SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States. They're supposed to be the guardians of the Constitution. They're not supposed to be the activist bench. They're not supposed to be the ones that drive agendas. And the history proves that when it came to slavery, they aggrandized slavery. They aggrandized racism and so forth. I mean, when we look at SCOTUS for the duration of this republic, from the founding to today, they have been more culpable in causing violations and perverting and subverting our constitutional republic than they have done good. And therefore, they don't deserve a lifetime appointment. And secondly, they don't deserve an appointment from the federal seat. I believe that each state should submit and not nominate, but each governor should have, submitted by the, whoever, and put this into the state constitutions, where these nominations would go to the governor. But the bottom line measure is, and this has to be very well articulated, that our judiciary has to be rooted in the Constitution, not case law, not, admiralty law, not any of this precedence crap. It has to be founded on the law, that if it is not within the law, then common law must apply. In other words, what happens in common law when something isn't really well defined? Well, it's really simple. You call for a common law grand jury. It's a jury of the people. And that jury of the people will basically be presented with all of the information, and then they will work through the what we will call the facts to determine whether this is law or this isn't law. But when it comes down to establishing definitions, then it would be then turned over to the state legislators. Because in a Republican form of government, you know, it would be then given to the state representatives to determine how to make it fit within their compact. I mean, the common law grand jury down at the state level has some abilities to actually identify whether something is within the law or not within the law. But the bottom line is the sovereignty has to go to the legislative body. The legislative body has to actually come up with whether they want to make a law and permit that to become law and or amend the Constitution to make this new role, responsibility, or power. If it is within their enumerated powers, then they can make that law or what have you. They can expand the definition, what have you. But if it is not within the enumerated power, then they must actually amend the Constitution. It's the same thing at the state level. You got to amend your state constitution. So the point is this: are we better served by this, you know, these robes of oligarchs in, you know, in a number of 9, or would we better served in a number of 50? And the states would then be able to have, you know, their own their own assurance to make sure that these judges actually represent the law as it should be. So I'm okay with really kind of opening this up, because the best thing for us is actually having more transparency and having better representation. The fact of the matter is our Congress, in Congress itself, with 435, I think it's 435, it's anyway. No, it's 5-something, because we got to add the Senate, right? Anyway, whatever it is, and I know somebody's going to give it to me. And thank you so much. I do appreciate all the feedback every time when because I don't want to take the time to look up the number. But bottom line is that when we are looking at our House of Representatives, when we're looking at our Senate, now the Senate is supposed to be just 2. But when we look at our representatives, you cannot tell me you're adequately represented in Congress by a person that is representing basically 1 million people. I'm sorry. It's impossible. They are not representing you. And so when we look at, you know, our representation in the Supreme Court, we truly need to ensure that those justices understand who the party to the compact is. It is not the Supreme Court. They're not the party that drives things. They can't create law. They have to actually continually shift things back to, this is a state legislative issue. And it is unsatisfactory to constantly see the Supreme Court trip, fail, and do all of its evil doings, its nefarious activities, by actually injecting what they want to call law. We need to rip away their interpretation, and we need to really put the final arbitration back to where it belongs, back to the state level. And so today, if the framers were around, this is what I was going to get into before the segment break. If the framers were here today, they would absolutely agree. I think after the historic proof, after all the evidence that we have, the empirical data, we now know that giving judges a lifetime position is not the best thing. And as a matter of fact, the whole Bar Association becomes problematic. I know I'm creating a lot of enemies as I swing the bat each time, but the whole Bar Association needs to be dismantled. It shouldn't actually be operating in America. The only admiralty courts that we should be actually having that's based within the Constitution are those things of international issues. And then the Supreme Court would need to basically interface with both the admiralty courts on the federal side and the common law courts on the state side. The states should not be having necessarily admiralty courts within them operating your traffic court and all of these other family court, all of that kind kind of crap, it should be handled by common law courts, period. Period. That's it. The common law is the law of the land, and that's what should be applied. So understanding technology and understanding the ability to directly connect the state legislatures with the federal government, I mean, there's no reason why the Supreme Court can't be, you know, your justice can't be sitting in, you know, in an office at your state capitol and just basically logging in and actually going through the cases and interfacing. I mean, wow, it makes it work, right? But these people really believe that they're being exalted to kings. That's the Star Chamber. They believe that they're above everybody. It's public service. They are public services and servants, and their responsibility is to be guardians. We have to keep that in mind. The whole focus of the Supreme Court and our judiciary is to be the guardians of the Constitution, not guardians of agendas, okay? So my next feedback I wanted to get into, Mr. Wilson, QAnon. QAnon is what? So QAnon was putting out all these little posts and these cryptid things, and there were people that were interpreting all of this. And I know that there's still some, you know, some kind of life to the QAnon or QAnon or whatever. And forgive me, I'm bad with names, but what happened? I mean, QAnon was saying, oh, this isn't going to happen. I mean, there were all sorts of things throughout the president, throughout President Trump's presidency and post-presidency, that this was going to happen, this is going to happen. And a lot of that crap didn't happen. Everybody's saying, ah, this is happening. And I even shared with you, and I think you might actually, that link may still be alive. It's still on Reclaiming the Republic. I don't think I've removed it. But there was a link to these sealed indictments that were all around the United States, that there were all sorts of people that had these sealed indictments, and they were all going to be unsealed, and people were going to start doing the perp walk. Well, that never happened. What the heck? Folks, you're being played. You're being manipulated. And I can't tell you how you know susceptible we are when we're so frustrated. We want to believe in something that's simple. If you want to believe in something that's simple, believe in the Constitution. Believe in demanding full compliance. And believe that you have the authority to hold your public servants accountable and your government accountable. It is right there in the Constitution. Your First Amendment petition, it is your right. And you have the ability to force them either to comply or out of office, because Section 3 right there is in the 14th Amendment. I can't tell you enough how the divine hand of providence has given us, has blessed us with such a beautiful document that we can actually use as a weapon today. And I think it's great that we're actually seeing some of these things, the lawsuit against Congress, these petitions that are actually starting to get generated. The fact that we've got petitions that are actually being fielded right now in Spokane County. And I know that there's work in trying to do this, but this proves to how important it is to have somebody that is, you know, taking the responsibility and actually putting, let's call it, taskers, let's call it suspense dates. I mean, when you assign somebody a task, I mean, isn't it important that that person has a, you know, a due date when that task has to be done? Isn't that important? I mean, help me out here, right? As far as I'm concerned, when you get a assignment at work and all of a sudden, you know, it's due, what happens? Well, people need to understand when this work needs to be done so that it gets done on time. And so getting organized and having a petition manager and having them commit to having these petitions done, it's almost like if you allow somebody to infiltrate your organization and you know they take over the petition control and petition management, then you're going to find that your petitions won't get done. It's called stonewalling. And we see this within the Republican Party. We see this in all sorts of conservative organizations where people stonewall. Or the other problem is ineptness. People are taking on or are willing to do a task, but they don't have the resource, they don't have the time, and you're going, what the heck are you doing? Anyway, we'll be right back with some feedback from Mr. Hebron, Mr. Huss, and Mrs. Jackson regarding foreign affairs. And so we will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we've kind of touched on this, and so there's been, it doesn't mean that people aren't going to give me feedback. So Mr. Hebron, Mr. Huss, and Mrs. Jackson are kind of, you know, can you speak to this fact that we're going to war? Can we actually just go to war? Can Biden just throw us in this? And I'm telling you, no. The Constitution does not allow it. The fact is that Biden will be sending troops, and you know, everybody's playing this like enemy, or Russia is the bad guy. I believe that anything and everything Biden touches will become tarnished and it will die on the vine. I don't know if you've ever seen, you know, those types of metaphorical portrayals in, you know, where somebody touched a piece of fruit and it just kind of withered and rotted when they touched it. That's what Biden is. That's what the Biden administration is. This is why it's really important that I get this script done so that we can start challenging. And I want to commit to having this done this weekend and having a script for you to use to challenge your congressperson, whoever's running and defending their seat, to call them out on January 6th, whether they are a senator or whether they're a representative. They need to be called out because they violated the Constitution and they're facing a lawsuit currently. And they're using the court to protect them. And we believe that this coming election can actually be the brutal reality to help them understand that we, the people, know and we're watching, excuse me, and we're holding them accountable, period. It's that simple, okay? So, but before I go further, what I want to do, and I forgot to do this at the beginning, we need to get a message to Representative Crawford of North Carolina. And so I am going to prepare a message to him because I've tried calling. I've tried calling about 3 times, and I'm just too busy to just try to be, you know, take on the job of being some runner to some a representative of the people. Bottom line, here's a person that was a part of, called out to be a part of the January 6th insurrection. As a representative of the people, he needs to take a position regarding the Constitution and using the Constitution as his weapon. And we will show him how to do this next Friday. We're going to use Feedback Friday to send a message to Representative Crawford. So if you know Representative Crawford, or if you want to reach out and contact him, just look him up. I forget which congressional district he is in, but he's the only Mr. Crawford in the state of North Carolina that is representing the people of North Carolina in Congress. So I think what we'll do is we'll probably find the name and we'll actually put it in the Take Action page, put it right on top, so that any of you can just go ahead and call the office and say, hey, that can Representative Crawford hasn't recalled or called back. I mean, G.R. Mobley has called and tried to reach out to you guys and you never got back in touch with them. And you need to hear this message. If this guy is serious about representing the people and getting reelected, he needs to be leading on these very specific issues. Very specific. So anyway, we will place context to that because, again, we're taking the gloves off, folks. It is time to do the brutal. I'm talking a little too fast here. It's time to provide a brutal beating and battery of our public servants in government who don't believe that they have to comply to our Constitution, period. It's time to actually show them that we're no longer going to be nice. We're no longer going to accept their noncompliance. Now, back to foreign affairs with Mr. Hebron, Mr. Huss, and Mrs. Jackson. Yes, we will probably be going to war. However, you have to understand two things. The federal government only has the constitutional authority to create a treaty within that constitutional enumerated powers. There is nowhere in the Constitution where the federal government has been delegated the authority to create an alliance, a direct, permanent military alliance with what we will call any other nation, or to subjugate us to this alliance that can actually drag us into war or drag us into laws that would absolutely violate the Constitution. So if you understand what I'm saying, what they're doing is unconstitutional. Congress has to declare war. And so if they declare war, then they declare war on Russia. And we shouldn't be going into Ukraine. If we declare war on Russia, we should be attacking Russia. We should be attacking Moscow. We should be attacking these major cities of Russia. But, oh, people don't want to do that. That people actually don't want to see us declare war. This is why the only policy for foreign aid and foreign involvement is to make Ukraine a part of the United States, not a part of NATO. And so, again, we have to really put our arms around this, and I'll try to do that in just a second. But I want to make it clear for you, as we start seeing these things, because it was Mr. Huss that brought up this concept of political prisoners, that, oh, hey, you know, they're bringing, you know, I don't think Mr. Huss remembers, but we've kind of covered this. We're seeing political prisoners being imprisoned here in America. I don't think this has anything to do. Biden has nothing to do with what's right. Biden has everything to do with being the globalist leader and trying to at least portray that. But again, he's portraying that and subjugating us to the globalist agenda in the globalist governments. And that is all unconstitutional. But the point is that the January 6th political prisoners and other political prisoners, there are other people that are being taken into custody that they're denying their fundamental rights as U.S. citizens right here in America. So how is it that we're going to be bothered that Russia is doing this to Ukraine, a supposedly a sovereign nation, but it's a puppet nation? And it's been a puppet, and we've been playing these games with Ukraine and a lot of these other countries at their own peril. Shame on us. The people that have been involved in all of this, going all the way back through all the presidencies, Congress, and all the people that have actually been involved in the manipulation and the undermining of what I would call just the fundamental rights, the inalienable rights that we are all endowed by our Creator, and going against our Constitution, that's treason. We need to start seeing people doing perp walks, and we need to see them doing the dance at the end of the rope, if you know what I mean. And I'm taking my gloves off. We actually need to start hanging people for committing treason. We've been way too kind, and we've placated the progressive paradigm of, oh, well, you know, these people can be rehabilitated. These people aren't that bad. You know, we'll just put them in a detention center, you know, in the evenings, you know, or we'll put them in the corner for a while. No. You know, when people have been given the trust, they've taken this oath, and that people have died because of their actions. And we've had people die from COVID because of their actions. All of these people should be tried for treason. They've exercised powers that they didn't have through the Constitution or delegated within the Constitution and enumerated. And so we have to hold these people accountable. It's time we actually start serving justice. I know that there's a lot of people, and I've said this before, my focus is taking control back and getting full compliance with the Constitution. There are plenty of other organizations, there are plenty of other people that are watching, naming names and all of that to go get that justice for you. What we have to do first, before they can even get justice for you, is we have to take back the Constitution and obtain full compliance. That's the priority, folks. We've got to drain the swamp. And the only way to do that is through Republic Review. So the fact is, when we start looking at this whole foreign policy, and this all has a lot to do with immigration, refugees, and citizenship. And let's look at this like a family. When a family adopts a child, then that basically is going through the immigration process. Now, you could become a stepchild or a foster child. And then over time, the family ends up adopting and making that child legally a part of that family. Well, it's the same thing with citizens coming from outside the states. So the process, and the only process, is the adoption process, or what we call the immigration process. Can you fathom a child just, you know, busting into your house and then just kind of hiding in the corners and living there? And then eventually, when you finally discover in your big mansion that there's all these little kids in all these different little corners. Well, hold on here. And then they demand that you make them a part of the family. No. This is reprehensible. This is repugnant to any concept of civility. The fact is that they're there, they're invaded, and they have no business being in your home. They have no business being in our country. These, what we call invaders in the United States, they have no business being here. It's the same thing with refugees. The government doesn't have the ability to just grab a whole bunch of people and bring them in here and fast-track them into being citizens. Are you kidding me? Folks, there is a process, and that process is a symbiotic process. The person that wants to be a U.S. citizen has to go through it legally, because that way they appreciate the fact that they've become a U.S. citizen. When it becomes an entitlement, then they want to get on the entitlement bandwagon. Oh, well, we want all these other things that you can't give us either. They can't give away citizenship. The laws are set. Congress must have a uniform law of immigration, and they have one, and nobody is abiding by it. This is why we are in kimchi. We're in deep, deep. I love kimchi. Anyway, I had another one for the Haiti man on fuel shortages, food shortages, and everything else. We'll carry that up in our next Friday feedback. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.